All right, this evening we will be in Numbers chapters 3 and 4, where we left off at the end of Numbers 2 last time was we saw the first Israelite census in Numbers chapter 1, where the tribes of Israel were being counted for preparations for war, the conquest of Canaan, which will come later. And so that the raw numbers were there for us in Numbers chapter 1, and then the placement of the tribes around the tabernacle was given to us in Numbers chapter 2. And of course, this is the book of Numbers, and so there's lots of numbers in it. I addressed some of those numbers last time. I'm going to address some of the numbers again this evening, but not in such great detail, so you can go back and reference that for a discussion of the large values of those numbers in Numbers 1 and 2. Tonight, we will be focused on the tribe of Levi, who was not numbered in Numbers 1 and 2, because the Levites are excluded from the census for the purpose of war. Now, they will be counted this evening. We will see them counted in Numbers chapter 3 and chapter 4, but they are counted for a different reason. They are not counted for war, but the Levites are counted for work. And that is what we will see this evening as we pick up in Numbers chapter 3, verse 1. I'm actually going to read through verse 26, so if you will bear with me just to set the stage, and then as we finish up chapter 3 and then move into chapter 4 especially, there will be less reading and more of summary. So if you would follow along with me, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version, beginning in verse 1. Now these are the records of the generations of Aaron and Moses at the time when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These then are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he ordained to serve as priests. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father Aaron. Verse 5, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, to do the service of the tabernacle. They shall also keep all the furnishings of the tent of meeting, along with the duties of the sons of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. You shall thus give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him from among the sons of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, that they may keep their priesthood. But the layman who comes near shall be put to death. Verse 11, again the Lord Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord Yahweh. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the sons of Levi by their fathers' households, by their families. Every male from a month old and upward you shall number. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord, just as he had commanded. These then are the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei, and the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram and Izhar, Hebron and Uziel, and the sons of Merari by their families, Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to their fathers' households. Verse 21. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shimeites. These were the families of the Gershonites. Their numbered men in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, even their numbered men were 7,500. the families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward, and the leader of the fathers' households of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. Now the duties of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting involved the tabernacle and the tent, its covering, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the court, which is around the tabernacle and the altar, and its cords, according to all the service concerning them. All right, so as we go back through here and touch on a few things, we see in verse 4 the identification that we saw back in Leviticus 10 of the strange fire that was offered by Nadab and Abihu, the two oldest sons of Aaron. And, of course, they were killed as fire came out of the tabernacle from God for offering strange fire on the altar of incense. And it's pointed out here in verse 4 that neither Nadab nor Abihu had any children. And so we see that with Nadab and Abihu that their lines were actually killed off. And so this is interesting, but it presents no ongoing curses for those lines for Nadab and Abihu. So the only two sons and lines that Aaron had left were his two youngest sons, identified here, of course, in verse 4 as Eleazar and Ithamar. Now, also in verse 4, near the end, it says, "So Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests in the lifetime of their father Aaron." At least that's how the New American Standard version reads. It's interesting because that prepositional phrase, "in the lifetime," is actually literally translated from the Hebrew as "before the face." And so this actually might be pointing to the fact that back in Leviticus 10, when we saw Nadab and Abihu offering strange fire on the altar of incense, and we discussed that many sessions ago, and you can go back and listen to that if you like, there were multiple things perhaps going on there that Nadab and Abihu were doing wrong and in a blasphemous manner. But one of the things that Aaron perhaps actually learned from that incident is that he ought not let his sons go and minister without his actually oversight. And so this actually might mean here in verse 4 that Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests before the face of their father Aaron. That is, Aaron was providing much closer oversight to his sons as they were ministering before the Lord. In verse 5 and following, we have here, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Bring the tribe of Levi near and set them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him.'" And in verse 7, "They shall perform the duties for him and for the whole congregation before the tent of meeting." And so what we're seeing here in Numbers chapter 3 and 4 is that this tribe of the Levites that was not numbered in the war census is now being given to Aaron, the high priest, and his family of priests that they might serve him. So this tribe of Levi serves both the high priest and his descendants, as well as the entire congregation. And of course, this is a change, and we'll see the change as we move down into verse 11 and following. But what we're seeing here is God ordaining this entire tribe of Israelites to serve the people of Israel and to serve the high priest. I want to note in verse 10, "You shall appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their priesthood, but the layman who comes near shall be put to death." This is the second time that we've seen this being said. The first time was back in chapter 1, verse 51. This is a warning to the layman, that is those who are not the priests, that if they come near to the tabernacle, they are in danger of death. Of course, this also harkens back to the incident in Leviticus 10 with Nadab and Abihu. And we will see again over in verse 38 this same warning, Numbers chapter 3 verse 38, the layman coming near was to be put to death. And so the priests and the Levites, the priests specifically, also have a role to play in keeping their fellow Israelites alive as well, and even the tribe of Levi who are not priests, keeping them alive by making sure that they do not come too near to the tabernacle, to the holy place, and certainly to the most holy place, because anyone who is not a priest who approaches that closely is in danger of death from the Lord. And so this warning is given to us three times here in the first three chapters of the book of Numbers. Now, verses 11 through 13 are very important. They give us some explanation for why the Levites are called out specifically in chapters 3 and 4 here. Verse 11, again, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Now behold, I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn, the first issue of the womb among the sons of Israel. So the Levites shall be mine, for all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, from man to beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord." So this is a restatement of something that we had previously seen some time ago, actually now, all the way back in Exodus chapter 13, if you'd like to turn there to get a sense of what was going on there. Exodus 13. Exodus 13, verse 12, specifically. So this is after the 10th plague occurs. In Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, "Now it shall come about when the Lord brings you to the land of the Canaanite, as he swore to you and to your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall devote to the Lord the first offspring of every womb, and the first offspring of every beast that you own. The males belong to the Lord." And so we see the original design in the wake of the 10th plague, where the firstborn in Egypt were killed by the angel of death, that God, as in response to that, Yahweh identifies that all of the firstborn males of all of the tribes of Israelites are to be dedicated to him. And so that was, again, quite some time ago that we saw that. And here in Numbers chapter 3, we have those words in verse 12 of Numbers 3 that "I have taken the Levites from among the sons of Israel instead of every firstborn." So God here is changing gears a bit. And instead of taking every firstborn of every Israelite in every tribe, he is now sovereignly choosing instead to take an entire tribe to himself instead. And just to be honest about you, the motivation for this particular change is not given explicitly in the text. We might speculate just a little bit as to why God is now taking the Levites instead of the firstborn of all of the Israelites. So, just from a pure numbers perspective, it turns out that the tribe of Levi is pretty right-sized, as it were, for the work that God is laying out for them to do. And we will pick up on that number over in verse 39 of Numbers chapter 3. And it should be noted here that the tribe of Levi is actually the smallest tribe of the 12 tribes, or if you count Ephraim and Manasseh as two separate tribes, which certainly Numbers chapter 1 does, it's the smallest. Levi is the smallest number, has the smallest number of men compared to all of the other 12 tribes of Israel. So perhaps they are right-sized. It's also perhaps that the Levites showed a great deal of zeal for the Lord back in the wake of the golden calf incident. So if you would turn with me back to Exodus chapter 32. So you remember Exodus 32 is a very important chapter. It is the chapter that recounts the golden calf incident. Moses is at the top of Mount Sinai. He is getting the vision of the tabernacle and all of its furnishings in Exodus 25 to 31. And then in chapter 32 of Exodus is the description of this golden calf incident. And if you look with me in Exodus 32:26, let's pick up in verse 21 of Exodus 32. Then Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, that they are prone to evil. For they said to me, 'Make a God for us who will go before us.' For this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off." So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Verse 25. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control, to be a derision among their enemies, verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And so you can read the rest of the chapter there to see how there's a sense in which the Levites redeemed themselves from first the idolatry of the golden calf, but also this goes all the way back into Genesis, where Simeon and Levi were part of the story about the rape of Dinah and the incident with Shechem. So the Levites redeem themselves in the wake of the golden calf incident. And so it could be that God chooses to take the Levites to himself for the service of the tabernacle because of their zeal for the Lord, as demonstrated in Exodus 32. It also may be, and again, this is speculation because the text doesn't say, it also may be that this is God, in a sense, honoring the faithfulness of Moses and Aaron, who themselves were Levites. Okay? So, again, I give that all to you as possible reasons why God chooses to take the tribe of Levi here unto the service of the tabernacle. Ultimately, there's no clear answer, but these are some things that we might think about. In verse 14 and following, then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, "Number the sons of Levi by their fathers' households, by their families, every male from a month old and upward you shall number." So this is different and in contrast to the census that was taken in Numbers chapter 1. If you remember, again, Numbers chapter 1 was a census for war. And so the only males who were counted were the males who were age 20 and upward. Here in Numbers 3, verse 15, the census of Levi is to be taken for every male from a month old and upward. And the reason is because this will be a census not for war, but a census for redemption. And we will see that in verses 40 and following. So there's a difference here between the two censuses. In verse 17, we're reminded of the three sons of Levi, who was the third son of Jacob, the man Israel. And these are Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And these are consistent, of course, with what we saw all the way back in Exodus chapter 6, verse 16. And so what we're going to see now is these censuses for each of these sons of Levi. The first one being Gershon, beginning in verse 21. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shimeites. These were the families of the Gershonites. Their numbered men, in the numbering of every male from a month old and upward, even their numbered men were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward, and the leader of the father's households of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. So, I'm not going to go into detail about that number, 7,500. Again, we talked about the nature of the numbers last time, but just pointing out that when we add up the Gershonites and the Kohathites and the Merarites, we will see a total number that will come to us in verse 39. And just as we saw last time in Numbers chapter 2, there will be four contingents of Levites who will camp westward, southward, northward, and eastward of the tabernacle. And they will camp in between the other tribes of the Israelites and the tabernacle itself. And again, as I mentioned last time, I mentioned again that this is for the protection of the Israelites themselves. The Levites are to provide a barrier between God in his tabernacle and the common Israelites in the other 12 tribes, so that no layman will approach too closely and so be put to death. And so we see here in verse 23 that the Gershonites, a subset or a clan, as it were, of the tribe of Levi, are camping on the west side of the tabernacle. And they are given duties in verse 25 and 26, and we will see an expansion of those in Numbers chapter 4. But in summary, the Gershonites, who will camp on the west side of the tabernacle, their duties are summarized as follows. The tabernacle and the tent, its covering, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the court, which is around the tabernacle and the altar, and its cords. So, the Gershonites, this is what they will carry as the tribes of Israel move through the wilderness. In verses 27 through 32, we see a summary of Kohath, or the Kohathites. Just want to point out, in summary, the number of the Kohathites in verse 28 is 8,600. At least in the New American Standard Version, and I'll come back to that in a bit. In verse 29, the families of the sons of the Kohathites were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle, and the leader, verse 30, of the father's households was Elizaphan, the son of Uziel. And then in verses 31 and 32 is the summary of the duties for the Kohathites. The ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, and the utensils of the sanctuary with which they minister, and the screen. Verse 32, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was the chief of the leaders of Levi, and had the oversight of those who performed the duties of the sanctuary. So we will see in Numbers chapter 4 that the clan of the Kohathites is the preferred clan, as it were, among the Levites. And it's interesting because that is not because they are the oldest son. The oldest son of Levi, as we see in verse 17, is Gershon, but the Kohathites will have the preferred place, and that is because Aaron and Moses are in the line of the Kohathites. So you will have some of the Kohathites camping on the south side of the tabernacle. In verses 33 through 37, you have the clan of Merari. And you can see in verse 34 that this clan was numbered 6,200. Verse 35, the leaders of the father's households of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. They were to camp on the northward side of the tabernacle. And so again, if you have sort of a study Bible or something, you can. There's probably a pictorial of where these clans of the Levites are camping in between the tabernacle and the tribes themselves. And then in verses 36 and 37 is a summary of the appointed duties of the sons of Merari. It involved the frames of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, all its equipment and the service concerning them, and the pillars around the court with their sockets and their pegs and their cords. And so now you have these three clans, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, and they've all been assigned different parts of the tabernacle to take care of whenever it was time to pick up the tabernacle and move through the wilderness on their way to Canaan, which of course is where God is taking them. Verse 38. Now those who were to camp before the tabernacle eastward, before the tent of meeting, toward the sunrise, are Moses and Aaron and his sons, performing the duties of the sanctuary for the obligation of the sons of Israel. But the layman coming near was to be put to death. Verse 39, all the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the command of the Lord, by their families, every male from a month old and upward, were 22,000. And so we see that Moses and Aaron and their subset of the Kohathites are to camp east of the tabernacle in front of the screen at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So again, as we mentioned last time, this is the place of privilege on the east side of the tabernacle, and Moses and Aaron and their families, that is where they will camp in between the tribes associated with Judah on the east and the tabernacle itself. And we see that number 22,000 there in verse 39, and that's a very important number as we dive into verses 40 and following. In verses 40 and following is the summary of how the firstborn of Israel will be redeemed. Again, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, God said that all of the firstborn of Israel were His, and that was because God spared the firstborn of Israel after He killed the firstborn of Egypt, according to the 10th plague back at the Exodus. And so here's where we see the redemption of those firstborn, beginning in verse 40 and following. Then the Lord Yahweh said to Moses, "Number every firstborn male of the sons of Israel from a month old and upward, and make a list of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the cattle of the sons of Israel." So Moses numbered all the firstborn among the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded him, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, for their numbered men were 22,273. And if you remember, I talked a little bit about that number last time. I'm just going to take the number at face value for the sake of understanding the text this evening. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, verse 44, saying, "Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the sons of Israel and the cattle of the Levites, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. And for the ransom of the 273 of the firstborn of the sons of Israel who are in excess beyond the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels apiece per head. You shall take them in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And give the money, the ransom of those who are in excess among them, to Aaron and to his sons." So Moses took the ransom money from those who were in excess, beyond the ransomed by the Levites, from the firstborn of the sons of Israel. He took the money in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, 1,365. Then Moses gave the ransom money to Aaron and to his sons at the command of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So it turns out that when all of the firstborn of Israel, as we discussed last time, were counted from 1 month and upward, that number was 22,273. The number of Levites was 22,000. As you can see in verse 39, and so a simple subtraction of those two numbers means that there were 273 additional firstborn of Israelites who needed to be ransomed because there simply were not enough Levites to redeem all of those firstborn. And so God places the value of those 273 firstborn Israelites at 5 shekels per head. And so if you multiply 5 shekels by 273 Israelites, you get 1,365 shekels. And that money was paid, you can see verse 49, as a ransom. Okay, and it was for the service of the sanctuary, which is what the Levites are for. They are to work in the service of the sanctuary or in the service of the tent of meeting. And so that money, those 1,365 shekels, were given to Aaron and his sons in the service of the sanctuaries. And so all of the firstborn of the Israelites were now redeemed, and the Levites are now in the service of the Lord and of Aaron. So that's what's happening there in Numbers chapter 3. It's a census of the Levites, and the census is for the purpose of redemption, and we see God choosing to trade all of the firstborn of Israel for the entirety of the tribe of Levi. In Numbers chapter 4, We will do a summary here very briefly because it is basically an expansion of what we already saw in Numbers chapter 3 for the duties of the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites. Okay? And so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can see at the beginning of Numbers chapter 4, leading up to all the way up to verse 20, you can see the duties of the Kohathites. And this is, again, the privileged clan in the tribe of Levi. And we see that this there's another census here in Numbers chapter 4. Again, so we all agree that the title of the book of Numbers, being Numbers, is a really good title. Okay, lots of numbers here. And in this particular census, we see in chapter 4, verse 3, that this particular census is for males aged 30 to 50. So in Numbers chapter 3, it was all males 1 month and upward because that census was for the purpose of redemption. In Numbers chapter 1, all of the other 12 tribes of the Israelites, the census was for males aged 20 and upward because that was a census for war. In Numbers chapter 4, it is the number of males aged 30 to 50 because this is a census for work. They're counting the number of workers who will execute the duties here articulated in Numbers chapter 4. And those duties are essentially to take care of the tent of meeting. Again, the Kohathites is the favored clan in Levi. And so we see in verse 4, this is the work of the descendants of Kohath in the tent of meeting concerning the most holy things. And so the Kohathites are privileged to be in charge of the most holy aspects of the tabernacle. And we will see the details of that as we work our way down through here, verse 20. And so it says in verse 5, when the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it. So the most important piece of furniture in the tabernacle is the ark of the testimony, right? The mercy seat that sits on top of the ark. And they are to be covered by the veil. And the Kohathites are to go in and to cover that ark before anyone else can see it, lest they die. You see in verse 7, over the table of the bread of the presence, they shall also spread a cloth of blue. So this is the piece of furniture on the north side of the holy place. And it must be covered before any of the other Levites or common Israelites can see it. Verse 9, they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand for the light. And so this is the piece of furniture on the south side of the holy place. And it is holy, and so it must be covered so the Levites and the common Israelites cannot see it. Verse 11, over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth. This is the altar of incense, which is right at the very entrance of the most holy place. It must be covered so that the Levites and the common Israelites cannot see it, lest they die. Verse 12, and they shall take all the utensils of service with which they serve in the sanctuary and put them in a blue cloth. These are also holy and cannot be seen. Verse 13, then they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it so that they cannot be seen. Verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons had finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is to set out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they may not touch the holy objects and die. And so again, this is the responsibility of Aaron and the high priest and the other priests to make sure that the common Levites and the common Israelites do not look at nor touch the holy objects and so die. Verse 16, and the responsibility of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light and the fragrant incense and the continual grain offering and the anointing oil. The responsibility of all the tabernacle and of all that is in it with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, verse 17, "Do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites be cut off from among the Levites, but do this to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy objects. Aaron and his sons shall go in and assign each of them to his work and to his load, but they shall not go in to see the holy objects, even for a moment, lest they die." And so this is one of the primary purposes of the high priest, to make sure that all of the holy objects are covered so that the other Israelites do not die. In verses 21 through 28, we have the duties of the Gershonites. Again, I don't want to necessarily go through all the details here, but you can note in verse 23 that, again, the counting in this particular census for work is for males aged 30 to 50. And you can read that there, the details of their duties and what they will carry. And then in verses 29 to 33, you have the duties of the Merarites, again, counted from 30 to 50 years old. And they, you will see at the end of verse 33, will be under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest, as well as the Gershonites were. You can see that in verse 28 as well. So the two sons of Aaron, Eleazar is in charge of the Kohathites, and Ithamar is in charge of the Gershonites and the Merarites. All right, so we see this delegation of responsibility under Aaron, the high priest, and his two remaining sons. Verse 34, "So Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their fathers' households from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old." And you can see in verse 36 that that number is 2,750. In verses 38 to 41, you can see the census for Gershon, and in verse 40, you see that number is 2,630. Again, these are males aged 30 to 50, a census for work. In verses 42 to 45, you see the census for work for Merari, and that number in verse 44 is 3,200. And as we finish up Numbers chapter 4, verse 46, "All the numbered men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the leaders of Israel numbered by their families and by their fathers' households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who could enter to do the work of service and the work of carrying in the tent of meeting, and their numbered men were 8,580. That is the total number of Levites aged 30 to 50. Verse 49, "According to the commandment of the Lord through Moses, they were numbered, everyone by his serving or carrying. Thus, these were his numbered men, just as the Lord Yahweh had commanded Moses." All right? So, more numbers in Numbers, three censuses, one for war, one for redemption, and one for work. Okay. As we finish up here this evening, I would like you to turn back with me to Numbers chapter 3, verse 39. Numbers chapter 3, verse 39. We are going to talk a little bit more about the numbers in Numbers. Now, this number in verse 39 is 22,000. That's an important number because, as we saw, when you subtract 22,273 in verse 43, you subtract 22,000 from that number, you get 273, which is important because that was an additional redemption price for the firstborn in Israel. If you were paying very close attention, you would have noted that if you add up the numbers in verses 22, 28, and 34, those numbers are 7,500, 8,600, and 6,200, respectively. If you add those three numbers up, they do not add up to 22,000. They actually add up to 22,300. Okay? So, We're going to talk a little bit more, like we did last time, about the text itself. Okay? So why do the numbers add up to 22,300, but the number given in verse 39 is only 22,000? And again, I believe that the right number is 22,000. Now, there's a couple of possible explanations for this discrepancy. Some of the commentators note that perhaps the firstborn in the tribe of the Levites added up to the extra 300 and were not actually included in the number 22,000. So how could the firstborn of the Levites redeem the firstborn of the Levites? And so there's a bit of a reason argument provided here for the missing 300. Okay, so they assume that the firstborn of the Levites cannot ransom the firstborn of the Levites. I personally do not think this is a reasonable answer. Okay, for example, if you just do the ratio of 300 or 22,000 divided by 300, you get a ratio of like 74 to 1. It doesn't actually make sense that 300 is the right number of the firstborn of the Levites, and that particular explanation is not substantiated anywhere in the text. If you remember last time when I was talking about this number 22,273, at least I was able to go back into Exodus and note that Pharaoh himself didn't die during the 10th plague. And so I think there was some biblical justification for that explanation I provided last week. The text does not substantiate this particular explanation for why there are 300 firstborn missing in chapter 3, verse 39. I think that the easiest explanation for why there's this discrepancy has to do with what we talked about last week, and it's a textual critical issue. Okay? It's a textual critical issue. I believe that the proper number of Kohathites in chapter 3, verse 28 should be 8,300, not 8,600. Okay? So the number in verse 28 of Numbers chapter 3 should be 8,300, not 8,600. And there's actually a very easy explanation for why this is the case, and it's similar to the explanation from last week. It turns out that in the Hebrew language, the difference between the number 3 and the number 6 is one letter. And it turns out that the number 6 has an extra letter. So the two words, right, are very similar. The number 6 has one extra letter. So in the English language, for example, it would be like comparing the words that and hat. Okay? That has an extra letter compared to hat. And it is most likely the case that when the scribes were transcribing what we call verse 28 of Numbers chapter 3, they left out one of the letters. They left out one of the letters that would have spelled 3. And so future scribes identified this as a 6 instead of a 3. And so it's most likely a copyist error, and a letter was dropped, and I think this is substantiated by the fact that there are some copies of the Greek Old Testament, which we call the Septuagint, that actually have 8,300 in verse 28 of Numbers chapter 3. So, for those of you who were doing the addition, I believe that the most reasonable and simple explanation is that the number in Numbers chapter 3, verse 28, should be 8,300, not 8,600. And then when you add those up, of course, you get the number 22,000 in verse 39. And so when you're being confronted by some skeptic about the contradictions in the Bible, you are all set with a textual critical issue to answer that objection and then preach the gospel to said skeptic. All right? So, there we are. Numbers chapter 3 and 4, the censuses of the Levites, the redemption of the firstborn, and the tasks that were assigned to the Levites for when the tabernacle needed to move. Lord willing, next time we will pick up in Numbers chapter 5.